If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, as we get tonight into Psalm 37, and we'll have communion later. And as you guys are turning there, let's just pray. And again, and once, as we always do, ask for God to open his word to us and just bring his word alive to us. So Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the joy that you give us. Truly, Lord, it's a gift from heaven, the joy of the Lord. We see the world around us in panic. We see a lot of people fearful, a lot of people worried, a lot of people uptight. And maybe there's some here tonight that are fearful and uptight, and maybe even believers. I pray tonight, as we read your word, God, and we kind of get this reset here in Psalm 37, that we just get refocused, that you would get our eyes on you, and it would lead right into communion where we really get our eyes on you and realize, Lord, that we're a part of your family and that this is your kingdom that one day you will take over. And Lord, we will rule and reign with you, and all this is going to be a passing memory. And you're in control of everything, Lord. And so we thank you for that. And I just pray now that you'd open up your word to us. I pray you would be the teacher as always. And Lord, just again, reveal yourself to us and again, your joy and your hope. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Psalm 37, again, a great reset psalm. This to me is perfect timing. You know, we try to do like maybe one psalm or something like that on a communion night, one chapter, whatever it might be, because we want to leave some time at the end to have communion and have a little bit of an afterglow when we're done at the end. And this is a perfect psalm. I love the way the Holy Spirit times things, where we can drop in on one psalm for tonight and cover really what I think much of the church needs right now. And that is a reset. We really need a reset. You know, you have your phone and your computer and you're working on them, and sometimes you forget how long it's been since you've turned them off and turned them back on, and they just kind of start acting weird. Something's not working right. Things are sticking on the screen, whatever's happening, something not working the way you're supposed to. And for me, oftentimes, I leave them on so long without ever, you know, turning them off and back on and resetting them that I kind of try all these things first. Like, why isn't this working? Why isn't that working? And it just hits me, wait a minute, it's been like how long since you turned this thing off? I'll turn it off, turn it back on, and voila. It's fixed. Now, it's not always that way, but at the same time, a lot of times, all it needs is a reset. I think a lot of us right now are maybe stuck in all that's happening in the world today. The election, COVID-19, and that's on top of normal life problems, right? So we get stuck in this thing of trying to figure it out, trying to work it out, maybe frustration, anger, don't know what to do, don't know how to, you know, we just need to reset and say, let's just power down and let God just power back up, and it won't be an apple, you'll see, it'll be a dove coming up, right? And that's what I hope tonight does in Psalm 37, because that's really the heart behind it. You couldn't find, to me, a more perfect psalm for where we are as a society and just for encouragement as a church. And again, as I said at the beginning, and I want to encourage you guys again, I really want you to be just praying that God will give you rest and help you to enjoy the holidays and just to relax and have a good time. You know, again, no matter what happens, with all these things that are happening around the world, we can rejoice because not only we know what's going to happen in the end, and we're going to be winners, if you will, with the Lord, because he's going to rule everything. But also, we can rejoice now because his Spirit's in us. He gives us joy. It's a gift from heaven. And so receive it and receive it tonight. You know, let God fill you and just let you rejoice in him, because regardless of what happens, as we're going to see in this psalm and as we see all throughout the Bible, the Lord has great things for those who love him. So Psalm 37, a psalm of David. Notice David starts out, he says, "Do not fret because of evildoers." That really sums up the majority of this psalm. So we're going to see this theme over and over and over as we go through Psalm 37, not to fret. And again, fret means to be anxious or angry or uptight or upset. How many of you tonight feel angry or anxious or uptight because of the stuff going on in the world? You know, you see what's happening, you know, with the COVID, and some of the things just don't line up. It's just not making sense, right? I mean, like, how could it be that, you know, the death rate is the same last year as it is this year? Which Johns Hopkins University just released their report. Same death rate that we had last year was this year. Same 2019, same 2020. How can that be with all the deaths that are happening? I don't understand. I'm not telling you I have an answer. I'm saying can't figure it out. But it makes us uptight. We're being told that everybody around us is dying, and they release the stats that the same number of people have died. No, I can't figure that out, but something's not clicking if you're with me. And then we see things about the election, and we wonder, how in the world do all these votes get out? Again, I don't want to get off into something that sounds political. I don't want to go that direction at all. I want to stay away from that. But there's a lot of things happening that doesn't compute. Our brains go, how can this be? How can that be? What's happening? David really is in the same kind of place in this. And when David's in the midst of it, God is ministering by his Holy Spirit saying, don't fret. Relax. God's in control. Again, that reset, that refocus. He says, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. And here's the reason, and this is where the refocus gets us back on target. For they will soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. From God's perspective, anybody that's prospering in wickedness or anything that's happening in this world that's not right is so quickly done with. It's just a little blip on the radar. And yet from our perspective, it's so long, isn't it? Again, we've used the analogy before, being a kid. That's probably the easiest one to pick. I can't think of a better one right now, so pardon me for using it again, but you know what that's like. You're a kid, everything takes forever, right? You know, whether you're on a trip or whether you're waiting for Christmas. You know, here we are in December. I remember as a kid, like Christmas would never come. It took years and years and years and years and years and years. And I have one Christmas at 5 and another one at 10. You know, that's how long it took to get there. And yet now, the older you get, the faster they get. And it seems like now, even for the young generation, they say that it's fast to them. I think it's because the world has changed so much. But from God's perspective, that's what it's like. It's very, very fast what's happening. And what David is saying, and what God is saying through David is try to get my perspective. Try to get my focus. This is going to be over with so quickly. And even though it seems like a long time, you see the grass and suddenly it just withers. It happens that fast. Trust in the Lord, he says, and do good. Now, when you're in a time where nothing makes sense, where everything seems to be causing you to fret, here's the answer. You say, well, what do we do? What can we do in a time like this where everything's so anxious and things seem so wrong and we want to take action? What do? He says, do good. Do good. As believers, continue being a Christian. Continue loving each other. Continue loving the Lord. Continue praying. Yes, there are some things you can do in the physical realm, and maybe God will call you to action in some things. I get that. Nothing wrong for a believer in that. But overall, we're to do good in the Lord. Love each other. Be looking for opportunities to minister. Looking for ways that we can, you know, serve the Lord in any way he may call us to serve him. So he gives this kind of, first of all, and really this verse 3, he gives kind of the roadmap. Here's what you do in a time like today. Trust in the Lord, number one. All right, number two, do good. And look at this, I love it. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. He says, just live life and soak in his goodness and his faithfulness because he's faithful. But Lord, look what's happening. I know. But Lord, this, and I know. I see it too from up here. And I'm in control. Feed on me. Feed on my faithfulness. Tonight we're going to feed on the Lord symbolically. We're going to have the bread, we're going to have the cup, we're going to have communion. We'll be feeding on the Lord. And so he uses that analogy throughout Scripture. Feed on me, feed on the Lord. That is in his word and trust in his faithfulness. God's going to make everything turn out the way he wants it to be, which will be righteous. And he says, if you do that, watch this, delight yourself also in the Lord. This is actually an addendum to that. And he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, there's two ways this can be looked at. One is you delight yourself in the Lord and God will give you whatever you want. I don't think that's what he's saying. Some people say that and teach that. I don't think that's what he's, you know, I want a Lamborghini or whatever. And so he does, no. But he says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, God will fill your heart with desires, his desires, and make them yours. It'll be something you're delighting in, something you love, something you enjoy, but it'll be the desires of the Lord. And the thing that you want, God will do that if we trust in him. And notice the key here. This is where, again, I was encouraging us to really rejoice during this season. Delight yourself in the Lord. Enjoy him. He's really very good. And so spend time with him in the word. Spend time with him just talking to him. He loves to hear from you. You know, we call it prayer. You're just talking to the Lord and you're listening to him and having a relationship. He says, delight yourself in him. Don't make it a work. Don't, you know, make it something hard. Just enjoy him. And if you do that, he'll give you the desires of your heart. You know, when you see a child, different perspective when you become a dad or a mom that you get. Maybe somebody who's not a dad or a mom, but a school teacher or works with kids could get this same sensation. And that is when you see a student or a child really trying their best and they're really doing something, it's just like they're really trying to be the best they can and to do what's right. You want to bless them. You desire to bless them. You know, if I see my girls really trying, I remember, you know, growing up, you see them, if they were really trying to do something good or whatever and trying to help out or do, you want to do something special for them. It's the heart of a father. It's the heart of a mom. And God is the same outlook. If we have that, God told his disciples, he said, if you being evil, we read past that part pretty quick, don't we? Here's the 11 closest followers of Jesus Christ in the world. Of course, Judas doesn't count, so 11. I can count, I promise, sometimes. 11 closest followers in the world. And he says, you guys are evil. But even though you're evil, if you do good things, how much more will your Father in heaven who's not evil? Now, he didn't say it like, you're evil, you're evil. He was like making a comment saying, but your nature, you have an evil nature. It's called the sin nature. He's just being honest. We all have an evil nature. We just do. We have a sin nature. And of course, the Lord said that in love, and we receive that in love from the Lord. He recognizes that. He knows that. But if we have an evil nature and we desire to do kind things for each other and kind things for our children, how much more do you think God wants to do that for us in heaven? So when we delight ourselves in him, just, Lord, thank you for being so good to me. Thank you, Lord, for just all the blessings. And thank you, Lord, for the home and the car and just my family and a place to go to church and all the blessings that we have. He says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. I'll fill your heart with joy and I'll bless you. And he does. He's true to his word. And I love it. It's just a result. You do it. You delight. And he takes care of the desires. I love that. He goes on, commit your way to the Lord. So that is, I'm going to turn it over to you, God. You know what's best. I commit it to you. I'm not going to try to make something happen. You do it. He says, trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. So Lord, you know what you want to do with my life. You know what's supposed to happen. I'm going to commit my life to you. I don't know what to do. I don't know what we're supposed to do as a family. I don't know what I'm supposed to do for a job. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Go down the list. But I commit it to you. You show me. And then we wait. And the waiting is the hard part. But you pray and you wait and God will show us. He'll bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Here's a hard one in anxious times. But again, look at this whole psalm. It's encouraging us just to, this kind of like, you know, just take a deep breath and relax. Everybody sit in that nice easy chair for a moment. Spiritually, just take a restart. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I didn't play sports very long. I played a little bit when I was a kid, and then I got more into the music and other things and all. And so, but I watch these guys now, these professional running backs. And I'm not a big football fan, quite honestly. I watch it some, but I know enough about it to know that when they, you know, when you're in the junior high level and the high school level and the college level, they just give you the ball and you just run as fast as you can, full steam, and try to go as far as you can and find the hole and, you know, get toward the end zone, right? By the time these guys turn pro, it's an art. And they know they've got these 300 and something pound linemen in front of them. That is, the play forms is going to open up a hole for them. And they actually get the ball, and I'll see them get the ball. And, you know, when I was, because I was little, I was a running back. I got the ball. It's like full steam ahead, just whatever I could find. I wasn't looking for an opening, just running to the guys in front of me, right? You're just trying to go somewhere because that's what you think you're supposed to do. And I watch these guys, they get the ball and they'll just kind of pause and boom, and they go. They're waiting for the opening for them to be able to make progress forward. And it takes maturity and patience and training to know how to do that. By the pro level, they know how to do it. And some of these guys are the greatest running backs. They give them the ball and it kind of seems like they pause for a minute, nothing's happening, and then bam, they're out of there. They're waiting for the play to formulate. They're waiting for the door to open. It's a learned process of maturity. You guys are running backs for Jesus in that sense. What he's saying is, just wait. I'll give you the ball. Just wait for this to open up. I'm going to give you a place to run. I'll show you where to go. You just wait. Wait for the play to form. And as the play forms, go. And so if God's doing that in your life tonight, you're just waiting. Lord, how long do I wait? I mean, you know, whatever. He says, just wait. Let the play form. And I'll send you through when you're supposed to go through. But just wait patiently on him. This is where, again, it's hard to do, but God asks us to do it. And David is learning this, and David is now encouraging us by the Holy Spirit to do this. And notice again, he says, do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Do you see things today, you see in our society, that you think people are bringing wicked schemes to pass? Do you see why I said this is such an appropriate psalm? For where we are, what he's saying is, now the word fret here again, I want to just reemphasize, it comes with this kind of burst of anger and this, it's like yelling at the TV, yelling at the radio. You ever done that? Because something you just heard, maybe a wicked scheme seems to be coming to pass. He said, hey, don't yell at the radio, don't yell at the TV because you think these wicked schemes and they think these wicked schemes are coming to pass. He says, cease from anger and forsake wrath, do not fret. That is, don't do that. Look at this. It only causes harm. Now, this doesn't mean we're not to be motivated to take action when action is needed. There's a time to take action. I'm not denying that. What I'm saying is, simply getting angry, simply yelling at things, simply doing whatever, there is no benefit to that at all, is what David's saying. There's nothing that's going to help you. You may think for a minute you feel better, right? But all it does is cause harm. It creates further fretting. It creates further frustration. He says, this is where we have to trust God. Wait for the opening. God's going to take care of this, and God knows he's going to win. It's interesting. Again, I use the football analogy. I don't know why that's in my mind tonight, but it's almost like God allows the enemy to seem like he's winning the game until the very end. It's like the Bible says that the world's going to go pretty crazy, as you guys know. The world leader's going to rise on the scene. The Antichrist will be ruling the earth. We're heading that direction. We're going to see all kinds of things change in the world, not just America, in the world governmentally that are going to drive us nuts. We're going to see things change in our society that are going to drive us nuts because we understand righteousness. Our eyes have been opened by the Lord. And so it's like we're watching the game, we're in the game, and our team seems to be getting pounded. Why did we just get sacked again? I thought we were going to win. It looked like we were about to get in the end zone. Suddenly, somebody picks it off and takes it back 99 yards out of nowhere. Where did that happen? And then we're behind, and the clock's running out. There's no time left. And it's almost like you see these great quarterbacks. They seem to thrive on the two-minute warning. You know, that 2 minutes to go, you're behind by 4 points. A field goal won't do it, right? This kind of thing. And the guys that are really, really gifted, it seems like they can just go in there and make it happen almost every time. It's the most amazing. It's like Michael Jordan in basketball. They've got like 0.00001 of a second, and they're behind by two. And everybody knows, just get it to Michael, one shot for three, it's over. And he did it like every time. I don't know how people do that. That's amazing to me. It's an amazing gift, especially under that kind of pressure. But that's what the Lord is like, and that's what the last days is going to be like. He's like the quarterback, and everybody in the stands and everybody in the field, all the teams going, it's so sad right now. We're going to lose, and we know we're going to lose, and we've tried so hard. We really thought we were going to win. We really thought we had. And all of a sudden, the Lord comes in and goes, everybody just set up, and come on, huddle, huddle, huddle. Don't fret. Don't fret. Get your eyes on the Lord. I'm going to win. And then we remember, hey, wait a minute. Guess who our quarterback is? God. If the clock runs out, he just turned it back. Last second, angel dragging feet in the corner of the end zone. The dirt's flying up in the replay. And we win. And the stands go crazy with all the angels and the believers in heaven and all this kind of, and the rejoicing of the kingdom. That's our future, guys. We have the big win. Rejoicing, isn't that something? That's why this psalm is so wonderful. We need this right now. We need this ministry of the Spirit to our heart to settle us. And this also can cause us, regardless of what's going on, regardless of what wicked things or wicked schemes we think may be coming to pass, depending on whatever opinion you have, we know that the Lord's going to win it, and we can relax and rejoice through the holidays and the rest of the year and everything else. It's going to be okay. He's going to win this thing. He always does. He says, for evildoers, verse 9, shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, here's the reward. They shall inherit the earth. The earth belongs to you. You just haven't taken possession of it yet. It's yours. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And he says he's going to come back and take it over, and he's going to let you guys rule and reign with him here on the earth for 1,000 years. And then it gets really good. He makes a new heaven and a new earth, and we're going to live with him forever there. So it's only good news from this point on. He says evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they'll inherit the earth. Yet for a little while, this is where it seems like forever to us, right? Look at God's perspective. Yet for a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you'll look carefully for his place, but it shall not be anymore. He's just, the wicked will be gone. They won't be there. He says, but the meek, that is the humble, if you will, those that are following the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Same thing Jesus said there on the Mount of Olives, or rather the Mount of Beatitudes, rather. He says, the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. Remember, gnashing in teeth is a picture of anger, right? People, you know. It's a gnashing of the teeth together. He says, they do that to the believer. They look at us and they do that. And watch what God does. He's in heaven. He sees them angry at us. He sees them gnashing at us. Those Christians, they're a problem. They're this whatever. And look what it says. This, I love it. Verse 13. The Lord laughs at him. You don't like my kid? You have no idea what you're going to face one day unless you repent. I love you and I want you to repent. I want everyone in the kingdom, but I'm going to hold you accountable for how you treat my kids one day. You may think you're getting away. You may even, over the centuries, put some of them to death. But you're going to stand before me one day and they're going to be ruling and reigning forever in the kingdom of God. He's laughing. You really think you can stop my people? You really think you can defeat the church? You really think that you can defeat me? And look, he laughs, why? For he sees that his day's coming. He knows there's going to be payday. The wicked have drawn the sword. They bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. Again, showing the anger and the hatred of those that are wicked toward the upright. They hate us. Their swords shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. It's almost like they run at us with a sword, and when they ram into us, they don't realize they're holding it backwards. It's exactly what's going to happen. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Now he kind of shifts here to just really kind of consolation and encouragement. Not only that God's going to defend us and we're going to win, but look in 16, he says, also you might notice that the wicked oftentimes are, you know, maybe have very wealthy. Now there's also a lot of righteous people that are very wealthy as well. But his point is, if you're seeing that the wicked seem to be prospering and the righteous seem to be working so hard and not really prospering, especially in some parts of the world, he says, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Again, because it's a lie. What they have is a lie. It's a trick. I think of all these guys, some of these guys, these tech guys, and some of these people, that computer guys that have gazillions of dollars or whatever. And in their mind, they're on top of the world. Maybe temporarily they are, and they've got all this and all that and whatever, and they control things. It's gone so fast. I mean, the moment they die, it's done. One car wreck, a heart attack, old age, it may seem like something, but it's like done. Yours is much more. Yours is eternal, and yours is forever. So he says, don't fret over that. Relax, you've got so much more than you ever imagined. You just hadn't gotten to inherit it yet. Just the little that you have now is way more than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. No end to it. I love it. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. You know, it's interesting. People worry about what are we going to do, and shortages and famine and you know, all these things. God promises all through the Bible that if we seek him first, he will provide what we need. How he's going to do it, I don't know. You know, somebody asked me tonight, when you look at Revelation, and when the Lord comes back, it says those that make it through the great tribulation, they're going to gather before the Lord, the sheep and the goats, and he's going to say, you know, to those on the right, blessed are you because you saw me hungry and you gave me food. You saw me thirsty, you gave me drink. You saw me in prison and you came to me. Lord, when did we do that? You know, he said, when you did it to my family. So what he's saying is the believers who are helping each other, there'll be many getting saved after the rapture. And they're going to all be helping each other because it's going to be hard. You can't buy or sell without the mark. But they're all going to be helping each other with food and supplies. And God's going to somehow make that available. He's going to be faithful to do that. He said he's going to do that. Even through famine, he's going to do it. And so God rewards them. Then he turns to the others. You know, the goat says, you didn't help me during that time of the great tribulation, and now you're going to have your payday. Again, the Lord sits in the heavens and laughs. You think you're winning. You're not winning. And I'm going to reward those who have been faithful to me and to my own, because the way people treat us, the Lord takes it personally. He says, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away. Just gone so quickly. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. What a contrast. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, that is, those blessed by the Lord. Again, as he repeats, the earth will be ours one day, very soon. But those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. You know, it's like, Lord, what do I do? God says, if you just follow me, I'll order your steps. I'll make sure you can't miss it. You think, Lord, what if I miss your will? If you seek first the kingdom of God, he promises all these things will be added to you. And that means he'll even order your steps. He'll make sure you get the right way. And even if you start going the wrong way, thinking, this is God, I'm going to go this way, God will intervene and stop you and turn you back the right way. Have you ever had that happen? I have. I've been going, this is it. The Lord wanted to. Bam, that was not it. And then I turn, now I see what you're doing. It's like, I'm not going to just let you do something stupid. You know, you do enough dumb things. I'm not going to just let you do something that's out of my will that's stupid. So he'll stop me and turn me back the other way. He says, just, if you seek me, I'll do this. I'll direct you so you can rest. And that's that kind of the whole theme here. Just rest and delight. Enjoy him. He loves you. She's going to lead you, show you the right way. Though he fall, that is the righteous, yet he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. So we may go through difficult times, deep valleys. We may have stumbles and even falls, but he says, God will pick us up. God will hold us. He's going to make sure we make it. If you want to make it to the end, God will give you the power to make it to the end. He's the one that upholds us. He says, I've been young and now I'm old, which again is going to be true of all of us in here and is for some of us already. Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken. You know, I haven't lived as long as some people, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, never. Never seen them forsaken. I've seen righteous people grumble, saying they're forsaken, and then I've watched God provide everything they need. And I think, can't you see what God's doing? What are you complaining about? He says, I've never seen that happen. Nor his descendants begging bread. Again, God says, I'll supply. You seek me, I'll supply. He's ever merciful and he lends, that is the righteous. And his descendants are blessed. Again, just more encouragement. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Just stay away from things that are bad. Do things that are good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and he does not forsake his saints. Jesus told the disciples, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes we feel forsaken maybe. We wonder, Lord, where are you? You know, if that happens to you, don't panic. That's normal. The psalmist oftentimes felt that. You know, you'll see the psalmist cry, Lord, why have you forsaken me? You know, and then by the end of the psalm, Lord, you're here. You didn't forsake me. And you're so good. You know, we're so humans. I mean, we're so fickle, you know. He says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm here the whole time. Rest, trust. Just sometimes it doesn't feel like, where is God when I don't feel him? He's right there not letting you feel him. Why would he do that? I think sometimes he just will find out what's in our heart. You know, again, are you going to love me when it doesn't feel good? No, only when it feels good. Well, that's why I'm working on you here. I'm going to let it not feel good for a while, and then you're going to see that I'm faithful, and you'll start loving me even when it doesn't feel good. God knows what he's doing. He's teaching us to trust him because he loves us eternally, and to the very depth he gave his life for us. He wants us now to learn that and enjoy that and to be able to understand that. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forevermore, he says. We're preserved. He doesn't forsake us. Again, first of all, there's finish up in the middle of 28. I won't skip that. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forevermore. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. You know, if you're reading the word, spending time in the word, it begins to get, you know, up in your heart. And so it's always there when you need it. He says, the wicked watches the righteous. That's interesting because they do. They watch us. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. So God won't let him. God will protect us. He says, wait on the Lord and keep his way. That is not our way. Keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. Again, that promise, that theme keeps coming up again of God giving us the land, giving us the earth. He said, just wait on him, keep his way, you'll have the land in due time. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. You know, you think you see the wicked winning sometimes. He says, you're going to see them lose, and you're going to see the righteous win, and nobody can stop it from happening. It's going to be a great moment. He says, I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native tree. Anybody ever seen that? Like you see that they're wicked, but they seem to have all the authority and all the power and everything's going their way and you can't stop them, right? He says, I've seen that. Every generation sees that. Yet, verse 36, he passed away and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. And here's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Mark the blameless man. I love that verse. Let's just meditate on that a while. Now you'll never read it the same. I've ruined it for you. Actually, it reads this way. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. Again, here's, he keeps talking about our future and their future. You know, what we have, what they're going to have. And it's not that God doesn't love the wicked, because we were all wicked at one time and we all have the sin nature. What he's saying is, if someone chooses to continue on down that path and they want to go that way and rebel against God, their day's coming. They're going to get their just reward. They've earned it, so to speak. He says, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Here's why. Because they trust in him. I encourage you tonight. I know you know this, but let's trust in the Lord. With whatever's happening with the virus, with whatever's happening with everything else going on in our society, let's trust the Lord. He's in control. He's got his plan right on target. He knows what he's doing. And he's going to bring it to fruition. And fretting's not going to help us. Getting mad and jumping up and down is not going to change anything. We just have to rest and wait and trust. And the Lord's going to be faithful. And one day this is all going to be a distant memory. And we're going to be in the kingdom. Just, you know, I don't know if we're going to be saying, man, remember what that was like. You know, aren't you glad it's over? But it's never going to happen again, ever. Just rejoicing and trusting in the Lord and realizing he's going to always bring out the victory there at the end. So a great psalm, Psalm 37. I pray that God would minister to your heart and would help you to just kind of relax and not fret and enjoy the Lord. I want to pray for that as we end, and then we'll kind of transition into communion. I want to leave us time to be able to have communion and a couple of worship songs and maybe even a little bit of an afterglow. So I want to go ahead and stop here tonight. But let's pray, and I want to ask for God to really just use this psalm and his word now, these seeds that are planted, just to bear fruit and to bring rest to your heart tonight, that you might rest well and sleep well, knowing that regardless of what the wicked seem to be doing and getting away with around us and whatever your issue happens to be, the Lord is in total control, and we can trust him. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you, God, that you are in total control of everything, all events, all that's going on, Lord, with our the confusion of the national election, Lord, with the COVID-19 worldwide, with the individual problems that somebody may be experiencing at work or in their family, whatever the case might be. Help us to learn to rest and to wait on you. We know, God, what the end is going to be. And so we trust you, God. We know that we are going to one day inherit the earth. We know that you're going to be ruling, and we're going to be ruling and reigning with you. I just can't even imagine. What is it going to be like, Lord? Everything will be righteous. Every judgment, every action, everything that takes place, we're going to be saying, yes, that's right. We're going to be rejoicing. I pray, Lord, you let us rejoice now. I pray for, Lord, your people here tonight. Let them just enjoy the holidays as we celebrate you, Lord, coming into the world to save us. And there's so many things that steal our joy. Don't let fretting do it. Don't let our anxiousness do it. Don't let fear do it. But let us just relax and enjoy you and celebrate and, Lord, be a light to others. Let them be shocked at the joy we have and the hope we have in the midst of their fear and their panic. And Lord, regardless of what happens, we know we win. So I pray you'd fill your people tonight with your joy. Fill your people tonight with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we now transition this portion of the service into communion, Lord, help us now just to get our total focus on you and to remember you for what you've done for us in your body and your blood. Lord, we praise you and thank you that we're a part of your family and that you would even want us to be a part of your family, but even in greater measure, that you would want to be one with us. Truly shocking, but we are so thankful. Thank you for your word, Lord, and just the sweetness of your spirit ministering to your people tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.